On the second day of the 65th session of the high-level UN General Assembly, world leaders are focusing on averting renewed conflict to the lead-up to an independence referendum for southern Sudan. Preparations for a January vote are well behind schedule, and there are fears that a vote to secede will lead to violence given the South's substantially known oil resources. Fouad Hikmat is the International Crisis Group's special advisor on Sudan. He told Kelsey Brennan-Wessels that there are several issues that still need to be agreed on before a vote on a referendum can be held.
There was a war between the South and the North for the past 50 years, with an exception of 10 years in between, when there was the first peace agreement, which is known by the Addis Ababa Agreement during the 1970s. But then it collapsed and people went back to war again between the North and South, led by the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, army, and the different governments in the North. However, in 2005, the two parties decided to put down the gun and to agree. After they agreed on the Declaration of Principles in Machakos in 2002, however, after Machakos, they reached to the comprehensive peace agreement between the South and the North, where there are mainly two principles, or three principles, let's say. One is to reform the governance in Sudan, and that is to put a new legal framework, and where power sharing and wealth sharing is constituted. And then to rebuild the areas which is affected by war so that it could reach the other areas, so specifically the South, and to go through a process of conflict transformation. And in that conflict transformation, there are two important principles. One is the democratic transformation, i.e., during the interim period of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which is 6 years, after which the Sudan should exit into peace if they succeed in implementing the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. And obviously, if they failed in these 6 years, they will not transform the conflict into peace, and they might return back to war. And halfway in this interim period, there is an elections, and that elections will transform the agreement from the bilateral agreement between those who are carrying the gun to widen the participation in governance, where you bring the other parties who are not involved and to move forward with the democratic transformation in Sudan. And this principle, if successful, it will contribute to the second principle, which that the southerners, they have the right for self-determination. And that will foster the environment in Sudan, the political, social, economic, and so on, to foster it so that when the time comes, which is January 2011, which is almost 6 months before ending the period of the CPA, to determine their future and hopefully to work for unity. Unfortunately, the two parties, I think, failed in these 6 years to work together to advance the two principles to make unity attractive. And both of them now are facing a new reality that the 6 years did not produce the conditions and the environment to lead to unity. And very clearly that the choice for the southern Sudanese most probably is going to be secession. But in the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, there was no agreement on the post-referendum issue if there is a secession, because it is designed for the unity. And now the two parties have to sit together to discuss the post-referendum issues, how they are going to continue sharing wealth and so on, because this is one country and it is going to be separated. But during that six years, the trust was not there between the two parties. There was rivalry. They didn't cooperate very well. Each one is accusing the other and so on. They did not create a common agenda, working agenda, that to implement the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. They implemented the different provisions, the ceasefire agreement, the security arrangement, the power sharing, the legal framework, and so on and so on. But there was more to that, which is to work towards the reconciliation And the reconciliation was never put in the Paris agenda. Until now, no reconciliation happened, unfortunately. And that didn't help to bring about trust between the two parties. So the mistrust continued. And now this is reflected in the post-referendum discussion. They are discussing the post-referendum, but each one with a separate agenda. The North wants to maintain unity. The South wants the self-determination. They think that they are going to secede. With these two divergent agenda, they found it very difficult to move forward. And therefore, the important meetings now in New York that to try to bring about a sort of reconciliation between the elites, between the two parties, and hopefully that will trickle down to reconcile the people on the ground, especially those who live along the borders that separates the South and North of 1956.
Now, how do oil resources play into the situation?
The oil, most of it was discovered in the South. Although that over the years now, there is a lot of oil being discovered in the North and is being exploited. However, the budget of the government, 70 to 80% of it, it depends on the revenue of the oil. They didn't manage to find an alternative to develop the agricultural sector, the other export sectors, and so on. And now with this separation, if it is going to happen, it means that the North might lose a lot of the oil, and then they want to maintain their share of the oil after the cessation. And while the Southerners, they think that during the war for the last 50 years, they didn't benefit. And in these 6 years also, they shared the oil with the North because that's the agreement. But now it is time for them to benefit fully of their oil so that they can start developing their country because they have nothing there. They are building a country from scratch. But at the same time, the North is going to be vulnerable because it has been depending on the oil. They want to guarantee that there will be a share of the oil. The oil fields is in the South, but all the other facilities is passing through the North. The pipeline, the refinery, and the export, the port is through Port Sudan. Everything is going through the North. And until the North start to increase the production of the oil in the North, where then they can feel safe. So they need time to continue sharing the oil. And in the atmosphere of mistrust and divergent, visions to how they are going to go about, the discussion over the oil sector is becoming problematic.
Now, the African Union has asked that charges against Omar al-Bashir be put on hold. What would be the risk of holding a referendum while he's facing these charges at the International Criminal Court?
This is, I think, it's a very important point. And the problem in Sudan, it is not only between the North and South. There is other serious problems, as you know, Darfur, which actually brought about the engagement of the International Criminal Court, which have got now more than a couple of arrest warrants against the President Bashir and others. And Darfur is not yet resolved. If the South is going to secede, the North is, as I said, have got its trap of vulnerability. One is the economic, political, and social vulnerability as far as the oil, the revenue, how it is going to run its budget in the North, and so on. But at the same time, it have got another vulnerability that through its totalitarian regime over the years, there is a serious opposition in the North, not just only from the South. Darfur is resisting the center, and so on. And therefore, political stability will be difficult to be achieved after secession if the NCP, the National Congress Party, which is the majority ruling party of the North, who is becoming the state. The state now is cannot separate it from the party. The party is the state is the party that wants to continue like this. And therefore, they think that they could continue finding a solution in Darfur, but mainly it is based on security approach rather than democratic change and to give the rights for Darfur. And therefore, the issue of the ICC is going to be problematic for the NCP. And they are trying to bargain to say, okay, If we want a solution, a peaceful separation for the South, we need to continue sharing the oil because I am vulnerable. But at the same time, they want to bargain during this very difficult time to say, could you wave away the ICC? Could you lift us from the sanctions? Could you remove us from the terrorist list? Could you? In a sort of that, this should be given to them so that then we can move into a peaceful secession and to try to resolve Darfur. And I think this is a political trap that the National Congress Party is facing. And it will be difficult. However, there is no doubt that the ICC has complicated the issues in Sudan. Definitely, there is no doubt about that. But at the same time, this is an international accountability process. It is not politicized, even if there is criticism about the chief prosecutor, the way he has handled the issue. But the court made its decision, and that is not easily to be waived. It is up to the international community through the UN Security Council to provoke Article 16 for the sake of peace. But is the issue between the North and South, is the peace issue, or also there is a peace issue between Darfur and Khartoum? Because the issue of the problem of Darfur is a central issue. As Thabo Mbeki, the ex-president of South Africa, once described it very rightly, that it is the problem of Sudan in Darfur rather than it is the problem of Darfur in Sudan.
So is there a risk of renewed conflict leading up to the vote on this referendum in January?
If the two parties, they do not agree on a principle, on the post-referendum discussions, and at least on the principles on the way to negotiate, because time might not be enough to discuss all these very complicated issues, because there is the issue of the debts, there is the issue of the Nile water, there is the issue of the one-third of the population of Sudan who live along the savannah belt, which is actually divided in between by the borders of 1956 between the South and the North, and many other issues, including the public consultation in southern Kordofan and the Blue Nile and so on. If they do not agree on these issues, then the issues is going to be complicated, and probably war might not start between the forces of the North and the South. If the two elites in the South and the North, they do not agree, the tribes that live along the borders of 1956, especially those around the Abyei area, which have got a special protocol and it's rich of oil, and it also the pass of about 1.2 to 2 million cattle that they move south to stay 9 months in the grazing land and the water, which is south of the border, they do pass by Abyei. And the Meseria, the Arabs there, they also claim that that is also their land and so on. They don't care about the decision of the International Court of Arbitration. If these people, they feel that the borders is going to be not soft borders, but it's going to be hard borders, they might not have the right to vote in during the referendum of Abyei and so on, they might shoot the first bullet, or anybody from the other side who might stop their cattle from moving down because of the tension around the referendum, which is only in 2 months, if they shoot the first bullet, and then they might immediately, that might escalate, and that have got to danger to derail the whole comprehensive peace agreement and the referendum itself, because then Khartoum and Juba, they are going to take sides. And by taking sides, they are going to also go into co-option, co-opting the tribal and so on, supporting each one. And that might escalate and might lead to total collapse of the comprehensive peace agreement. So therefore, I think it is important that the two parties agree on the principles and to communicate those to the people on the ground who have innocence, to move, to tell them, don't worry, your livelihoods are taken care of. We agreed that the borders is going to be this. We agreed and we agreed and we agreed to give positive things, genuine and positive things, to diffuse the tension around those areas.